God woke me up this morning just early enough so that I could find this. God said, read your Bible. So I've opened my Bible up on my phone. And where you want me to go? 1 Corinthians. I read 1 Corinthians 1 and I read 1 Corinthians 2. And I want you to open your Bible to 1 Corinthians 2. And then I want you to look in, verse 9. We'll go down to verse 16. We'll just read it through. I'll try not to spend a whole lot of time commenting on this. I appreciate your prayers for me. I feel a little bit better than I did earlier this morning. I mentioned during Sunday school that since I'm having surgery tomorrow, they want me to cut off some of the medicines that I take. And I've been off of some of them for a week, and it has withdrawal syndromes, and they're not fun, and it leaves me fatigued, and I'm sweating more than usual this morning, one time it went so long that my skin was crawling. Oh boy, that's a bad feeling. But anyway, verse 9, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. Now, some people stop that verse right there. They stop right there and say, well, we can't even know what's in heaven. But that's not what he's saying. Because if you read the next verse, there's a but there. You should pay attention to when the Bible says, but. But God hath revealed them to us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things. There's that phrase again. All things. Yea, the deep things of God. What I taught in Sunday school this morning, if you were even able to just grasp just a small portion of that, that made you smarter than Michio Kaku. You know who I'm talking about? That Japanese guy, physicist, always shows up on the news to explain new findings in science. And if you can understand, if you understand the creation week of Genesis 1 and believe it, you're smarter than he is, because he don't believe it. Anyway, verse 11, for what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. If you have learned, if you've read your Bible and learned anything from it, God gave it to you for free, didn't He? And that makes me cry when I realize, God, why'd you give me that? I didn't deserve it. God says, no, you sure didn't, but I sure love you. And it's for free. He don't ask anything in return. He just gives it. Amen? It's like what we do on Mother's Day. We're going to give these gifts out to all the ladies. All ladies. Don't have to be a mother, just all ladies here this morning. We don't expect anything back. We did have one grown-up put a dollar in over here for... I'll save that dollar, Ron. I'll save that for you, okay? But they're freely given to us of God. Verse 13, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. You know what that means? That means you read Isaiah one day, and you read the Gospel of Matthew one day, maybe two or three chapters. That means you read Romans the next day, and you read maybe Exodus the next day. You read something in the New Testament one day, you read something in the Old Testament the next day, and what happens? God starts comparing the spiritual things in the New Testament with the spiritual things in the Old Testament, and all of a sudden it clicks. You start understanding things that you never thought you would understand. All of a sudden, He puts it together and you're going, oh, I get that. That's amazing. So He says, Verse 14. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. This is why all the physicists, all the astrophysicists, all the scientists, all the people, the professors in the universities and the teachers in the schools and everybody else, this is why they believe that we're crazy for believing that God created the heaven and the earth. They believe we're nuts for believing in Jesus Christ. They believe in nuts. We're crazy for believing in heaven and hell. They even, now we're something to be got rid of out of our country because we still believe in morality and we believe that a man is a man and a woman is a woman. But you see, those things were given to us by the Spirit of God, but they are foolishness unto him, to those of the world, the natural man. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Verse 15, but he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judge of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? In other words, have you ever been God's teacher? Does God need one? No. But then he said, but we have the mind of Christ. And when I read that this morning, I closed it and I prayed and I said, God, I feel like most of the time I don't have your mind. I don't have God's mind. I don't have Christ's mind. Sometimes I don't think the way I'm supposed to think. And I don't like it. Last Sunday morning, where were we here? The enemy's weapons. Let's pray, and then I'm going to touch on some things back in 1 Corinthians 15. We were there last week, but I thought of some things this week that I don't think anybody mentioned, and I didn't mention them. 1 Corinthians 15, I'll let you turn there, but let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we're just asking very simply, God, that you bless this message. Lord, I know that it's late. I know that people have plans for Mother's Day. But Lord, right now, this time belongs to you. And I'm thankful for my mother. I'm thankful for my wife, the mother of my children. I'm thankful, Lord, for my children, how they've learned from both their grandmas. They've learned from their mama all the things that they needed to learn in life. And they're seeing now, Lord, how wise mama really was, because they see the application of it. And Father, we thank you for that, and we glorify you for doing that. We thank you that Jerusalem is our mother. She's brought us all into a new birth. And that's how it works, is that we're born again, not of corruptible seed, not of the things of this world, but we're born again of incorruptible seed, the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever, and is represented by Jerusalem in heaven. Father, we thank you, dear God, that you have blessed us with all these things. Now bless this word today. Help me to preach it, Father. And Lord, just go with us, we pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Now, I want you to go back now, 1 Corinthians 15. And if you want to open your Bible there, you're already in 1 Corinthians. So just, it won't take very much muscle movement at all to turn like five pages. I promise you won't break out into a sweat. You won't end up breathing hard or anything like that. It won't cost you any money. And then underline or circle or make... I'd like to draw arrows to certain verses. Boy, this is important. 1 Corinthians 15:33. And I'm just going to mention some things that are biblical that we have forgotten, but they are very pervasive in the world that we live in. If I were to ask you parents a question, is there a religion, or let's say, is there a religious ideology that is being taught and perpetrated upon children of today more than any others, done by the school system, the various cable channels, the streaming networks, and so on, what religious idea would you say is probably the one that's pushed heaviest upon our children? Yes, George. All religions are the same. That's a good one, except one. Okay? We're the holdout. We're not joining in. Amen? But I'm looking for something more specific than that. David? Religion? Jerry? Luciferianism in all of its various forms, astrology, Wicca, necromancy, divination, tarot, which is another form of divination, white magic, black magic, scrying, which is gazing into a crystal ball or to a mirror or to a bowl of mercury or even water. And when you gaze into that and focus on that and empty your mind, you will be in contact with a spirit. Listen, this Bible teaches that spirits are real. And he said Luciferianism, which means that Jerry believes what I believe, that Lucifer's the devil. Amen? And so read this verse now again with me. Be not deceived. He didn't say bad communications. What did he say? What did he say, Megan? Evil communications. Corrupt good manners. And it just very quickly, I want to run through this. Your children are being inundated with Harry Potter, Lord of the Rings, wizardry, witchcraft. When I say necromancy, you know what that meant? My mother-in-law thought that it meant kissing somebody on the neck. Romancing their neck. Necromancy. No, necro means dead. And it means doing magic by the dead. Familiar spirits. The woman at Endor, which is where the woman's name, Endora from Bewitched, got her name from the days of after Samuel the prophet had died and King Saul went to the witch at Endor and said, I want you to raise me up somebody by the familiar spirit. She said, who is it? And he said, I want Samuel up there. Well, she saw this spirit come up. Saul perceived that it was Samuel, but it wasn't Samuel. Samuel's dead. He was talking to a devil, a familiar spirit. And I promise you, through books, magazines, comic books, video games. And you don't have to have an Xbox to play video games anymore, do you? Or a tablet. Give them a laptop. And they're going to be playing games on it. And I guarantee you, at least 6 out of every 10 of those games have occult ideas in them. You're spell casting. You're doing with contacting some spirit. You're some kind of warlock. You're some kind of witch. You're using some kind of magical powers up to this, that, and the other. And it's in the games. It's been going around since they came out with Dungeons and Dragons. I won't get into all of that. But all of these things have been an onslaught onto our children for the past 60, 75 years since Herman Munster got on TV. And you think, I'm just preaching nuts. I'm telling you, there was a concerted effort to introduce the occult into American society. And do we not, those of you who were around at that time, I'm not trying to spill your age out, but did you not see a change take place in this country between 1955 and 1975? In 20 years' time! This whole country went downhill. You know how it happened? Evil communications. We have teachers now that are New Agers. That means they meditate and they get in contact with familiar spirits. School teachers. We have school teachers who are Wiccans. We have school teachers who use different scrying methods, gazing and getting it, but different ways of divination. We have preachers who are doing it. And I'm here to tell you this morning that it doesn't surprise me when we see videos come up on TikTok, which you ought not have. You ought not have TikTok. Don't. In fact, you would not bother me one bit if you said, "Pastor, hold on a second. I'm deleting TikTok right now." Get rid of that stuff. Teaching, those are evil communications that are designed to corrupt not just the manners of children, but adults as well. This is our enemy's weapons against us. Okay? Now, I'm going to move on from there. Turn to Acts chapter 14. Whew. I'm wore out as I can be. Acts chapter 14. In fact, you know what? Since you're at 14, what's the previous chapter from chapter 14? Okay, just checking, y'all. Make sure y'all know that. Look in chapter 13 for a second. I'm going to show you how this works. How a real person can be dispatched to you to change your mind. You see, we just learned from 1 Corinthians 2 that there is the mind of Christ, and then there is the mind of this world. The mind of Christ will lead you to heaven and all the glory that can be in heaven. And the mind of this world will lead you to hell. And I promise you. In fact, let's do this. Everybody look up here for a minute. I'm going to get you to raise your hand on something. Raise your hand if you honestly believe that the devil has tried numerous times to alter your mind away from the mind of Christ to the mind of this world. Raise your hand. I'll raise mine. He ran me completely out of this church yesterday. I'm not making that up. I don't like to admit it, but I got whooped. And some might say, "Well, you just didn't have enough faith and you stand strong against those things." And listen, I would like to be able to do that. But I know me well enough, and I think God knows me better, that if I won every battle I fought, I'd brag about it so bad you guys couldn't stand me. So there's no doubt in my mind the devil or God will let me get a tail whooping every now and then just to remind me who I am. I think it's good for us to get our backside kicked around, don't you? Amen, children! You, all you children there on this, I love it, they're sitting on the second row. Raise your hand if you think it's a good idea for your mom and daddy to give you a whipping. Lisa's holding her hands up. Raise your hand up. Jaden's raising his hand. Mick, come down here and whip him. Listen, if your mom and daddy whips you when it's necessary, when you get to be my age, you'll praise them for it. You'll thank them for it. What was I saying? Oh, chapter 13. Watch this. Pick it up in verse 6. This is when Saul now has changed his name to Paul. And when they had gone through the island of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country. Now here we have a man who practices occult practices. He's a sorcerer. He's in contact with devil spirits. He's being led by them. And he's a vizier. A lot of times, and I would say even now, But in, especially in the old days, all the kings, all the high ruling people, they always had a vizier with them, someone who was in contact with the gods to tell them what the gods said that they should do as king. And so this man, Sergius Paulus, who was a deputy of the country, had attached to him as one of his advisors a man who was a sorcerer. So, verse 7 says that Sergius Paulus was a prudent man who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. This man was wanting to get saved. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the what? Faith is your mind. The mind of Christ says, trust me, believe me, believe on me, believe in me, believe everything that I say, believe that the cross is what saves men's souls, amen. Believe those things. That's the simple faith. That's as simple as we can make it. It's this, call upon the name of the Lord and thou shalt be saved. It's that simple. But here we have a sorcerer who, when Sergius Paulus wants to hear the gospel preached by Barnabas and Saul or Paul, Elymas the sorcerer is going to say, listen, I know those guys. Boy, I tell you what, you need to stay away from them. Woo! Them guys are, woo, they're wackos. So then, verse 9, when Saul, who is also called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? You know what that, you know what that looks like in today's world? In today's world, the Bible says that marriage is a man and a woman. And that sins like fornication, adultery, lasciviousness, perverseness, those are all sins of the flesh outside of the marital bond. That's what the Bible says. The world will pervert that. In fact, there's preachers all over this country that are doing it. They'll tell you that, oh, just two people living together, they love each other. I believe they're married in God's eyes. That is not what God said. And now it's gotten to the point where supposedly men of God in churches are now saying, these two men, I join them together in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost to live in the blessed state of matrimony. That's perverting the right ways of the Lord, is it not? And see, you can think two ways. You can think the way of the Bible that says marriage between a man and a woman. And any interaction, you know what I'm trying to say, between two people that is outside the bonds of a man and a woman marriage is fornication, adultery, lasciviousness, uncleanness. These are the works of the flesh. Paul listed them by name in Galatians 5. And he said, these things will send you to hell. The world says, let's rewrite the Bible or let's not use it. And let's just say that love is love. And that whoever you love is okay. Or however many you love is okay. And how you live is okay. God accepts you the way you are. And God will keep you the way you are. That's the other way of thinking. And you see, my flesh, I'm just talking about me. My flesh likes this way of thinking. My spirit says, flesh, you're going to hell, but you're not taking me with it. Or let me say that differently. Flesh, you're going to the grave, but you're not taking me with it. I'm going to heaven. Amen. Now, Acts chapter 14, verse 1. It came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake, that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks, believed. So we got Jews believing, we got Greeks, which means the Gentiles. They're all believing the gospel. The gospel is Christ died on the cross, suffered, died for your sins. His blood covers and redeems you from all of your transgressions. Christ only has to die one time. You call upon the name of the Lord. Thou shalt be saved. All your sins are forgiven. You're going to heaven when you die. Whoa! People started believing that. But look what happened. The unbelieving Jews, in the book of Acts, a lot of times it was the unbelieving Jews, but today it could be the unbelieving anybody. Stirring up the Gentiles to make their minds evil affected against who? The brethren. You know who the brethren is? It's the church. It's us. The believers. And isn't that what we're seeing in social media, television, TV shows, commercials, books, movies? Everything that is coming out in this world is designed in one way or another to attack a basic principle that God lays down in the Word of God. Things like, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, thou shalt not covet. Things like that. Thou shalt honor thy father and thy mother. You know the rest of them. I drew a blank. But the world is trying to stir up a popular uprising against what used to be the norm in this country. In fact, you don't believe that. Just go back and watch. All you have to do is go back and watch TV shows before 1962, 63. They talked about, listen, it wasn't on TV if it wasn't wholesome. And they censored it. If it was in any way off color, it never made it on television. There used to be a radio station here in St. Louis called KHTR. You remember that, Jerry? Back when we was in high school? KHTR, hit radio. George and all. Did you know KHTR back made it like a little film for a big band station? And the guy, the main DJ of KHTR made this thing about rock and roll, and he said, rock and roll is never going to be played on K, and he's breaking rock and roll records, Elvis records, and all, you know, Blueberry Hill records and all this stuff. He's breaking them records, and he said, I'm telling you, as long as I'm here, KHTR will never play rock and roll music. And then by the time I'm 16 years old, KHTR is a rock and roll station. Something changed. Didn't it? Something happened. All of a sudden, people's minds started to be influenced away from thinking that there were certain things right and wrong, to now we're living in a world to where we can't even say, you're a woman, without, in Missouri, you might get yelled at. In California, you might go to prison. And that's what's happened. There is an effort to stir up people to get everybody's minds evil affected against the brethren. And what is it we're trying to... What is the only thing that we're trying to do. Give you an opportunity to not go to hell. That's all we're trying to do. The only way that we can do that is to proclaim to you what God proclaimed to mankind. These things here are sin. And all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then to say, these things here are right and righteousness. And if you call upon the name of Jesus Christ, if you confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And boom, you're on your way to heaven. And that's all we want to do, is give people a chance to spend eternity in heaven. I'm surprised that we still have Mother's Day. But let me make a prediction, and then I'll close. If things keep going the way they're going, 5 years from now, they won't call it Mother's Day. Thank you, Madeline, for agreeing with me. God bless you. I love you. She was back there shaking her head. I don't know what they're going to do. I don't know how it's going to happen. But I give it 5 years. And it doesn't matter who's president. I give it 5 years. But I promise you, 5 years from now, we're going to have Mother's Day. And a different day for Father's Day, because they're different. Amen? Amen! Because it's the women who decide what's on the TV, but it's the men who can fix it. Amen? Oh, was that sexist? I'm sorry. No, I'm not really. Happy Mother's Day to all you ladies. Happy future Mother's Day to you ladies. I haven't had yours yet. And I'm here to tell you, don't let the world talk you out of it. You ladies that have had children and now have grandchildren, I'm not even going to ask you which one you now have first. But I will ask you, was it worth it? Is it worth it? Is it worth it when your son sends you a text that says, Happy Mother's Day? Happy Mother's Day, Mom. I love you. It's worth it. Let's bow our heads. Father, I understand that this kind of things that I said today are not popular. Lord, I do thank you for any church in this country that would dare preach something like this and mean it and stand for it. I thank you for them. But Father, even motherhood now is under attack, and our children, I can't stand it. How that 9-year-old boys and girls have been so brainwashed as to think that they can choose their own gender identity at will. God, I hate that. So Father, would you reaffirm in our minds and our hearts? God, maybe I should have preached this. I don't know. That even if our own family members turn their mind toward Sodom, that we won't. And that's going to be hard. Because I love my kids. I love my grandkids. I give both my kidneys, my lungs, my heart to any one of them. I give my life for them. And my heart is soft toward my children. And if I'm ever to compromise, it would be for them. But Father, I don't want to choose the road or the mind of Sodom just because somebody in my family did. I still want to choose the right way. And if I'm hated then by my own family, it'll hurt me. It'll tear me apart. But Father, I'll be clinging to a promise that You made, is that we have a new family. A new family that'll take us in when our old family's done us away. Father, help us when the world is set against us and has a mind against us to destroy us. Help us, dear God, to stand strong together, to do it in love, but to stand and walk that old-time way. Father, bless all of our ladies, all of our mothers and grandmothers and mothers yet to be. We ask, Father, Your blessings on them. Bless this service and bless Your word, we pray in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. God bless you. Would you stand to your feet?